entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your host, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Alex Black. Good thing. Score predictions. 70-6.
71.
Good morning and welcome to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. A little late on the draw there, boys, as you were got the old man misaligned here on this September 16th. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill and our Ice Pick Body Armor Studios across from Tropicana Field. I'm Mike Rickard, joined by baseball Ben Botham, Savannah State Seminole grad and now faculty and B&B coach, I like to call him, baseball and bowling. And we have a treat today. We have the bowlers, the Keglers, in the house, and we're going to talk some bowling, and we'll talk a little about the Seminole win last night in football to go to 3-0. We got a great show. Of course, as usual, we'll talk Florida sports with FSU, Boston College. Big game tonight is Tennessee and of course, Florida, and then USF, Alabama. Rays, Orioles, plenty to talk about there. And then tomorrow, you got the Bucks and the Bears. And it's going to be a great weekend in Tampa Bay, Ben Botham.
Yeah, it certainly is. I'm very excited for this week. Sports in general are just going crazy right now. Rays, of course.
It's Tampa Bay again,
it's
baby.
Tampa Bay. Rays are unbelievable right now. The most important series this year in baseball, Rays versus Orioles, are just going on right now. And I couldn't be happier. I know this is a major flip-flop for me. I am a pancake. You can flip
you
me over. I am done.
Bipolar.
I got to call it like I see it, Mike. When I see bad baseball being played, I have nothing. I can't do anything but tell you how it is. I'm an honest man, and when a team only wins 5 games in an entire month and drops over 20, Mike, come on. You got
enough baseball.
I call a spade a spade.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. You played enough baseball that at that point in the season, you shouldn't have been that negative. You're not a true fan. You should have been more optimistic.
Mike.
You should have pointed out the flaws and then said, but you know what? There's plenty of time. That, you said,
Mike,
the season's gone. You said the season's...
And now they're going to face Wisconsin. Or I think they're the Badgers, right? An Eagle's gonna fly down, scoop up that little Badger. Tear it to shreds with those talents. I got to meet the Eagle at graduation. Go Eagles. I like the sound of that. Good upset there. I do think, though, your USF Bulls are going to upset of the day.
Bama will be out of the rankings by Monday morning.
Out of the rankings.
And USF.
That's tough. I don't know if our listeners heard earlier today or before we kind of got going. I don't know if the mics were hot, but I'm predicting a major blowout. I think it's going to be like 70-6.
I think you're underestimating the raucous environment of Raymond James Stadium.
I don't care if there's 110,000 in there. It's not going to make a difference. That, of course, is Joe Geiger, Gavin Van Dyke in the house, our Prep Connection conversation. Why don't we dive into that right away? Our Body Armor headquarters, we had a little snafu in the opening of the show, but we're back again, and let's rock and roll on this September 16th. Got a great 2 hours ahead of us, so... Why don't you rock and roll there, Gavin Van Dyke, and then we'll turn it over to Joe, and then we'll talk a little soccer.
Gotcha. We had some amazing football games this past week. I'll tell you what. We'll start off with Northeast losing to Cardinal Gibbons, 38-16. Largo beat Gibbs, 21-6. And Pinellas Park beat Lakewood, 37-14. And Lakewood's now 0-4 to start the season. That hasn't happened in a hot minute, I believe. And these next two games... Joe had to make sure he was reading the Max Preps right, because Indian Rocks beat SBC 89-28.
Holy cow.
And then Dunedin beat Hollins 72-8, which was...
And those were accurate.
Yeah, those are accurate.
We did have an incorrect score. I won't say where it was from. One of our major media partners here in the area, and it had Boca Ciego winning 55-28, and you boys say they lost by 8.
Yeah, they lost 27-35 to Eastland.
Gotcha. It was a
close game though. St. Pete beat Osceola 42-14.
Love that.
Seminole beat Countryside 31-12.
Now 3-0. I can't tell you the last time Seminole was 3-0 to start off a season.
Warhawks.
Yeah, the Warhawks. Okay. I know my team. We got Wally the Warhawk out there every single game, ready to go. Next week, homecoming, Mike, looking for another win. Going to be 4-0. Augie Sanchez getting the job done. Him, Coach Nick, doing well out there. Shout out to the football team. Love seeing them every day on campus.
Well, and Augie Sanchez will be pulling for USF aggressively today. Well, of course, a former standout over
still
there.
Still holds a lot of records there over at USF.
Well, so they might have to sue them up to keep the game close. All right, continue their gap.
Yeah, CCC beat Clearwater 42-20, and CCC is definitely a top team in this area. They're looking really good so far.
Number 5 in the rankings.
Number 5 in our rankings. And the game of the... might be the game of the year. Tarpon Springs beat Palm Harbor 22-21 and set the stage a little bit. They were down by a touchdown on their last drive. It was a 4th-and-44, and they threw a Hail Mary, batted off the defender, and the guy caught it, and they ended up winning that game on a 2-point conversion. Absolutely electric.
Off two defenders' hands.
Two defenders' hands.
Yes. I'd like to see that video. Exciting game. Any other games there, young man?
No, that was it for... week's football game.
And we'll of course get our player of the week as well. Do you want to go into volleyball from last week as well?
Yeah. I'll start with some volleyball. On Tuesday, Calvary beat Eastlake 3-0. It was looking like a top team in the country, Calvary volleyball. They're looking phenomenal lately. PHU beat Clearwater 3-0. St. Pete beat Hollins 3-0. Largo beat Dunedin 3-1. Osceola beat Northeast 3-0. And Mitchell beat Nels Park 3-0. And on Wednesday, Pinellas Park beat Lakewood 3-0. Boca Ciega beat Countryside 3-2. Northeast beat Gibbs 3-0. And then on Thursday, St. Pete beat Osceola 3-1. And St. Pete's looking really good. They've only lost one game so far this season. And they look like a fantastic volleyball team over there.
Your job is going to be to get the volleyball girls down here from St. Pete High. It's a close drive, and I'm going to put that on you, Gab.
Definitely, yeah. They're looking absolutely fantastic. I mean, they even beat Seminole 3-0 that week, too.
Hear that? There was a Seminole Lady Warhawk loss.
I think my headphones might have cut out there, Mike. didn't catch that one.
Okay.
Yeah, and then to end off the week, Hollins beat Tarpon 3-1.
All right. All these are brought to you by our great friends at Body Armor. This is the Body Armor High School headquarters. In fact, sat down with the guys from Orlando. They're going to up their participation. We're going to expand our coverage of high school sports. And Gavin Van Dyke and, of course, Joe Geiger are doing a superb job. Go ahead, take it away. You got a little more information. Then we'll dive into our rowdy segment with Jim Hart, patiently on hold with John Mayer, and talk about that game tonight, 8:30 first kick in San Antonio.
Bunch more scores and games today. We got college football in the state of Florida. On Thursday, number 22, Miami, took care of Bethune-Cookman by a final of 48-7. And today, Florida State, number 3, takes on Boston College in Boston College's Red Bandana game. That game's at 12 o'clock on ABC. Florida International travels to UConn at 3:30 on CBS Sports Network. USF welcomes number 10, Alabama, to Raymond James Stadium with a 3:30 kick on ABC. And we'll be storming the field afterwards after that game.
I love your passion. I love your youthfulness.
Holy. If you guys win that, you better tear down the goalpost.
I told him he's going to be storming the field to grab some signatures from all the number one draft picks on Alabama's team. That's what I'll be storming. You'll be storming the field for, champ.
Tell you what, good teams win. Great teams cover the spread.
Well, they're
exactly what they're going to do.
It's 32.5, and they'll cover it. I assure you that.
UCF, they play Villanova at 6:30 on ESPN+. The FAMU Rattlers, they play West Florida at 6:30. Florida hosts number 11 Tennessee in the Swamp at 7 o'clock on ESPN. FAU travels to Clemson. They'll look for an upset at 8 o'clock on the ACC network. Moving across to baseball, the minor league baseball, the Florida State League Championship is set. The Jupiter Hammerheads will play the Clearwater Threshers. Jupiter is the low A affiliate of the Miami Marlins, while Clearwater is the low A affiliate of the Phillies. Game 1 will be tomorrow in Jupiter. Games 2 and 3 are Tuesday and Wednesday in Clearwater. All those games are at 6:30. It's a best of three series.
Now, you gentlemen went to the game, didn't you? The Threshers.
We went to game two. They got whooped 10-0, but they won last night 2-1 to win. What was it? What are they? They clinched the Western Championship.
Western Conference.
See, and that's why it's the Sports Connection, because we cover everything from the Peewees, the Preps, the Pros. You're not going to hear any of these scores, and I love this. Keep it up, fellas.
On to Major League, the Rays tie for the division lead last night with a 7-1 win over the Baltimore Orioles. Tonight, first place is on the line as Tyler Glasnow is on the mound for the Rays with the first pitch at 7:05 on Valley Sports Sun.
And that's a must win, because right now, if we finish tied with the Orioles,
yeah,
they would still have the go ahead in the tiebreaker, because they have us beat in the series.
We must
sweep them today, tomorrow. We must get these wins.
But they're looking good, right?
You got one last thing there, young man?
A couple. The Rowdies, they've won five of their last six. They play tonight versus San Antonio FC at 8:30 on ESPN+. And finally, tomorrow, the Bucks return to Raymond James Stadium for the first time in 2023. It's the Bucks versus the Bears at 1 o'clock on Fox.
Great job, young men. Just graduated from Boca Ciega, grooming them to be one day on ESPN. All right, now let's transition over to our Tampa Bay Rowdies high school ticket giveaway, brought to you by Coca-Cola Florida and Body Armor. And he's Jim Hart. He's the producer of this segment, and he's got John Mayer. But let's talk a little Rowdies first of all, Jim, with your expertise. And you had a conversation with Ryan Helfrich this week. Why don't you break it down for us?
Sure, I'd be happy to. But before we get to that, your high school guys are doing a fantastic job, Mike. Super excited that Body Armor is buying into your coverage. Really well deserved. The Rowdies. So the Rowdies this weekend are kind of folding into one of your favorite narratives, Mike, which is Champa Bay. The Rays and Rowdies have something similar going on right now. The Rays series with Baltimore. Is kind of similar to tonight's game with San Antonio. So San Antonio is one of the top teams in the league. They're in the Western Conference. They're actually second in the Western Conference. They were the champions last year of what's called the Players' Cup, the best team in the regular season. The Rowdies are playing them tonight in San Antonio. The Rowdies, are in second place, but they hold a game in hand on the first-place team, Pittsburgh. If the Rowdies win tonight's game, they would have more points than Pittsburgh and actually effectively take the lead in the Eastern Conference, although Pittsburgh does play themselves. But the Rowdies do hold that game in hand. They essentially hold their destiny in their hands. This game tonight is super interesting because there's a big injury report on both sides, both teams, and neither team has to release their injury report until 1 hour before the game. So there's a little cat-and-mouse game going on regarding the starting lineup. San Antonio doesn't know who we're putting out there. We don't know who they're putting out there. So that's an interesting element to tonight's game. It'll be interesting when the starting lineups drop an hour before the game out in San Antonio. Kel Jennings is on fire for the Rowdies. 12 goals in the last 12 games. And he is just coming off being the league player of the week. And is just really doing great. He is not one of the people on the injured list, so San Antonio can prepare to play against him. The Rowdies, the two goalkeepers in the game, are probably the two best in the league. Connor Sparrow doing a fantastic job for the Rowdies. The San Antonio keeper is amazing. So this is really shaping up in a very similar way to the Rays-Orioles series. Very similar. And it's exciting to get that feeling of Champa Bay kind of starting to brew with the Bucks winning their first game. You know, the Lightning are looking good. So the Rowdies are playing their part. It's an exciting game to look forward to.
Great report. I appreciate that. Hey, I got to ask you, is that typical on in the world of soccer 1 hour prior?
Yes, those are the rules. Now, they don't have to actually disclose. It's not that they don't have to disclose their injury report per se, but they don't have to disclose who they're dressing for the game. That's the thing. Okay, so the Rowdies have more rostered players than you have spots on the bench. You know how in hockey they got to sit three or four guys down each game, and they can dress only a certain number for each game. I think it's 20 if I remember right. Well, I think in this league, it's 18 players. So San Antonio doesn't know who the Rowdies are going to dress, and it's in part because of the rehabbing of injuries that's going on. So it's not as though San Antonio is totally in the dark regarding our injury status. They just don't know how we look today and how the coach is going to roll the team out based on the recovery that has taken place in practice this week. So in a lot of ways, it's not that dissimilar than anybody else. But we don't have to announce our dressed 18 until an hour before the game.
Well, thank you for that insight. Why don't you go ahead and introduce our other guest? Of course, he's a staple in the soccer community in the greater Tampa Bay area, John Mayer.
Yes, John is joining us after a long career as a coach, administrator, and he's now one of the top soccer people in the country at United Soccer Coaches as a committee chairman. United Soccer Coaches, massive soccer coaches organization in the U.S. John was a head coach at Bishop McLaughlin High School toward the end of his career before he retired. He's also on our committee to pick the Peak Family Scholarship Award. We remember we had Spencer Peak on a few weeks back. So, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here.
So, John, tell us a little bit about your own career.
It started in Atlanta, Georgia. I got out of University of Bridgeport in Connecticut and moved to Atlanta. And what a great place that was in the 70s and the 80s. And was fortunate to work at Pace Academy right there on West Basin Ferry Road. I left there to come to Florida. My mom and dad were getting a little bit old, so I came down, took care of them, and was fortunate to work at Bishop McLaughlin for 15 years. So we were there when the first doors opened, the first day ever, and so it was a great, great time to be there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And John, you've been with United Soccer Coaches, the leading soccer organization, coaches organization in the world, really, in terms of membership. How long have you been with United Soccer Coaches, and what is your current role there?
Well, back in 1979, the convention that we have every year was in Atlanta, Georgia. And my college coach was there at the convention. He called me while I was in my office at school and said, "You need to come down here. This is a great thing for young coaches." I was young back there, and I was young once. And he... So I got down to the convention, and I was hooked. It's just a great organization. It's a fraternity of coaches that really have soccer in mind and the betterment of the game and working with the kids and the coaches and the players. So I've been involved since 1979 and haven't regretted a day of it. Right now, I've kind of worked my way up to a position that's in charge of the awards for the organization. Everything from our Hall of Fame to our Honor Award to our All-Americas on youth, college, and high school level to Coaches of the Year, Staff of the Year, as well as individual team awards such as Team Academic and Team Sportsmanship Awards. And so I just kind of oversee that. I've got a lot of great chairmen across the country that do a lot of the footwork, and I just kind of help them stay on track and stay on time.
That's awesome, John. So I'm assuming you've got to put the miles in to get into a position like that. So congratulations on that part. But John, give us your overview of high school soccer in America in 2023.
Well, being involved since 79, the game has just grown tremendously. It was a East Coast, Northeast kind of sport with hotbeds in St. Louis and different places. Dallas started picking it up, but it has just gradually moved right across the country. And what's really been exciting is to watch the growth of the girls' women's game over the years and how it's gone. We're in really pretty good shape right now. You know, we've always kind of fought to get headlines and get in the paper on, but soccer's out there. We just have to use what's out there to our benefit and keep advertising who we are. You look at commercials, and there's always a soccer ball in those commercials and somebody going to a soccer practice or something. So we're there. We just got to use it now and get excited ourselves and lose the redheaded stepchild attitude that we used to have.
Yes, definitely. When we thank Mike Rickard for his coverage of our local high school soccer scene. Speaking of
Meet each other there, John? You and I call him the Godfather of Greater Tampa Bay, oh, St. Pete. Where'd you two meet at?
Well, when I first went to Bishop McLaughlin, Jim was still coaching at Clearwater Catholic, and back then we all had to go to a rules meeting and referees meeting and that type of stuff, and it was really a pretty nice place. And I remember I met Jim there because my principal at Bishop McLaughlin and he were together at some place. I'm not quite sure how they knew each other. So I introduced myself, and that was the start of it, but that was 20 years ago. And then it kind of, we never really stayed in touch or anything. We weren't quite good enough to play Clearwater Catholic. And then he showed up at Carrollwood Day. And then, boy, we had some great matches between Bishop McLaughlin and Carrollwood Day. And it was just a mutual respect for each other. I loved the way he handled his team and his players. And it was just great. It was a lot of mutual respect there.
That's how it goes back and forth.
Just
got another way to think about it.
Jim, you can send John a check in the mail for that wonderful statement about you. Better give him his address off the air.
I'll give you the address later.
So, John, from your perspective, from your sort of national perspective, tell us, put the Loci Capital Champions League into perspective, what we're doing here in Tampa Bay, is just give us that sort of outside perspective of it.
It really elevates the game of high school soccer. We really haven't had anything. We've had state championships and we've had region championships in all the states across the country. And the United Soccer Coaches does a poll 3 times a year for the 3 seasons that high school soccer is played in. And there's an alleged national champion and all that jazz. But this is really putting the game on the field. It really is getting the players to really work to elevate their school name, their school position. It's really been a fun thing to watch. And I've been at conventions, but I've kind of mentioned it to a couple of guys, and they all kind of look back and go, that sounds pretty cool. So I was really excited to whatever part I play, to get Jim connected with the United Soccer Coaches and then get it spread across the country. It is so exciting to see St. Louis pick it up. We know Texas is starting to get involved, and Dallas, like I said, was always the hot spot. I've got a call in a couple of weeks with some coaches out in California, and I'm going to throw the idea out to them and see what they want to come up. But it just really elevates the game tremendously. And I'm real excited to be whatever part I am of it, to be there.
And you are a part of it. You help us pick our Peak Family Scholarship. Can you talk for a minute about that?
Well, you know, that's always a neat thing. The schools I worked at, Pace Academy and Bishop McLaughlin, were both great academic places. And we always had to respect the player that took the AP courses and the high-level honors classes to make sure that they had time to do their studies. So anytime we can elevate that player with recognition is great. Through the United Soccer Coaches, we have Scholar All-America program, which is so competitive. I hate to say that, but my Lord, we're getting some great students and great athletes playing our sport, and to recognize them is just an honor. But to do this on a local basis, and some of the children, some of the players we've recognized over the last couple of years have been so grateful. It really is a life-changing moment for them, and we've heard some great stories about, maybe I wasn't going to college, but this money got me to be able to do 1 semester, and then I got hooked, and I kept on with my education. So that's all great stuff, and we really, it's so neat to be able to have this thing out on the field with the competition and the playing, but then also recognizing those players who do so much more for the teams and come off the bench and just kind of are their spirit. And to be honest, that's what high school soccer is all about. All that school spirit and all that other spirit that goes along with it. It's just
so that's what high school. That's what high school sports all about, isn't it? And Mike, you do such a great job covering it. I was thinking, listening to your volleyball report, Mike, just before we came on, I think the Champions League would work great in girls volleyball and some of the other high school sports.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. And you know, I have to have lunch and explore that, because now that we've got Body Armor all in, they want us to reach even deeper, and I mentioned it to you, even into the youth leagues and assist them, obviously. They want to see people, and their product is very healthy and very good for the consumer. They want to see it in all of Pinellas County, and then eventually we'll work our way over to Hillsboro with the same message. But, yeah, that's something we definitely want to do. We're going to do a media day for each boys and girls organization in every sport and the rest of 23 and 24. So bravo. Great idea there, my man.
That's fantastic. Cool. That's super. And Mike, the other thing I wanted to say, and John, is I had a meeting. I, you know, Mike, with Ryan this week, and we are at the 2-yard line in terms of announcing that the Champions League final will be at Al Lang Stadium. We're not there yet. We haven't got the end zone yet, but we're close. We're hoping this week that we're able to make a huge announcement about where the Champions League is going. And honestly, I see the same thing in basketball. I see the same thing in volleyball, even baseball, softball. This idea of local competition vertically from big school to small school across the classifications, different than state championship, which is sort of horizontally, small schools, big schools only. This idea of this vertical competition, who's got the best team, regardless of school size, I think that's got some possibilities in all these sports. Maybe Body Armor would be interested in exploring that. That would be cool.
I'm certain it would. Well, you know, John Mayer, you've shown your age already, but I think I was talking out loud, and my girlfriend was in the room, and I said, "Yeah, we got John Mayer on," and she goes, "John Mayer? How'd you line up John Mayer?" And I said, "Well, Jim did it." It's not even dawned on me that, you know, he's an icon in music. You ever had anybody mistake you?
Back in the, I'm also the high school girls national chair for the United Soccer Coach Association. And so every year at our convention, we announce the teams, and the players show up, and it's great. And the announcer did this on purpose. When it came time for me to introduce my team, he made kind of a big deal of it. And you got to remember, there's college women, high school girls, moms out in the audience, everything. And he purposely goes, "And our next presenter is John Mayer," and you could hear this loud gasp in the audience. And then I walked on the stage, and they all went, "Ugh." So it was kind of
just classic moment. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, there's nobody that was, the wind wasn't taken out of our sails having you on the air. Anytime that Jim picks or selects someone, it's been an incredible resume. You're another one of those people. One of these days, I'd like to collectively get all the guests down here to Ferg's, and I'll throw a little food and wings and beverages, and we can all collectively share stories. So we'll
get that done,
and we'll play John Mayer over the PA system. How about that?
Lots of great stories.
Maybe in conjunction with the draw in February.
That'd be a lot of fun. Well, gentlemen, as always, I appreciate these opportunities to talk the great game of soccer as it expands our relationship with the Rowdies. That, if you can have that down at Lang Stadium, that's superb news for the championship, and we'll break it right here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Have a wonderful weekend, fellas, and again, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, John.
All right, let's take a break. Come back, and we're going to talk kegglers, bowlers. We're going to talk the Seminole Warhawk bowling team with the head coach, Ben Botham, from American Legion 273. We'll be right back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game, and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with partner RadioSt.Pete.com launched a new sports streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, on RadioSt.Pete.com. Florida Sports Stream provides local and national podcasts, radio shows, live events. The Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection will broadcast Florida high school boys and girls sports, live play-by-play coverage, media days, award ceremonies, positive stories and content across Champa Bay, Florida, and the USA. From the Pee-wees to the preps to the pros, recognizing positive participation in sport and the people that make a difference. Podcasts include NASCAR, Florida Fishing, MMA, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, local media personalities, pickleball, local colleges, FCA sports, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and NFL Alumni Tampa. Just a few of the shows and podcasts with dozens on deck. That's Florida Sports Stream on RadioSt.Pete.com, supported by Body Armor, Sea Dog Brewery, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ice Pick Vodka. Take a listen and have a championship day.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Yeah. Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this Super Saturday. Of course, it is September 16th. All kinds of action down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We've got all the college action. You name the game. If you want to watch it on one of Ferg's 100 televisions, you're certainly, you've got the right place. You're listening to us on our flagship, WTAN 106.1 FM and AM 1340 Clearwater St. Pete. And, of course, on RadioSt.Pete.com, on the FloridaSportsStream.com channel. As we talk everything from the peewees to the preps to the pros each and every Saturday down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and we'll continue to expand. Hey, by the way, each and every day on our Facebook, make sure you go to it. Joe Geiger does a superb job. We have our 2-minute sports update. It covers everything, as I like to say, from the peewees, the preps to the pros. And then we also have a separate, we've got our prep connection, Body Armor High School Headquarters, high school updates twice a week as well. So just go to Facebook and you can find that information. And we also are on several of our affiliates at the 8 o'clock, 9, and 5 o'clock drive time. All right, Ed, this is the Body Armor High School Headquarters prep conversation. And one that we've never had. I don't know if anybody that covers sports, but we're going to do it all, as I've told you. And he's Ben Botham. He's, of course, the assistant baseball coach for Seminole Warhawks. And just a few months ago, he was given the reins of the bowling team. But he's got a special guest here today, and she just turned 90. You want to do a shout-out to the beautiful grandmother here and, of course, your lovely mother?
Yes, my grandmother over there, Joan Botham over there. She just turned 90 not too long ago. My wonderful mother right over here, Judy Botham. She's
Judy Botham in the house.
Yeah, she has some banana bread for you. I left it at the house. I will bring it to you next week.
You're done, dude.
I know. I'm terrible, Mike. I'm terrible.
Well, I know you're not. And now you've taken on another opportunity. It's not a challenge because it's the first year, and you're building a the base for everybody. And you brought a bowler down here. Let's introduce him and let's have a little Pegler conversation.
Oh yeah. So right beside me here, I have CJ Riggs. And he's one of my bowlers this year. Well, what grade are you in?
I'm in the 11th grade.
11th grade. So I got him for at least one more year on the bowling team.
Oh, you like that?
I do like that because a lot of my bowlers are seniors. We're going to have senior night this year. And
Dan the man's in the house.
Dan the man. All right. Yeah. So the Seminole team's doing really great this year. I'm very excited with how we're doing. Weekly standings come out around Monday or Tuesday every week. But as of last week, we were tied for second place. With 20 points, total one. We only gave up 1 point. This week, we faced off again. We won 6 of 7 points, so it was another great showing by our men's bowling team.
Boys.
Sorry.
I know you weren't. You're going to be men. You don't want to rush into it, trust me.
Yeah, I'm not rushing. You know, I'm used to the college sports, Mike, saying men's, women, so I got to get used to
I always correct you. Don't worry.
Yeah, so team's looking really good. We got some great bowlers, and of course, right next to me, Mr. Riggs here. So why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself? How long have you been bowling? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, honestly, I haven't been bowling that long. I really got into it freshman year, and then they canceled our bowling club, is what it was then. And then this year, they brought it back as a full-on sport, and now we've got real, like, we can go to districts and everything. It's real fun.
So, CJ, how much fun was that when you found out that they were going to have a high school sport that you could participate in, and it had been pretty exciting for you guys?
Yeah, it was really exciting. I was really glad to get back into it and be able to do it again.
So how many boys do you have on the team, and how many girls?
So on the boys team, we have about 12 or so bowlers. A couple of them are on there just to get the cords for being a student athlete. But also on the girls, it's right around 12 as well. So there's about 24 or so bowlers I have. At a time, though, we can only bowl 5 bowlers at a time.
I'm just going to ask you, how many bowlers, and they call them matches in bowling, yeah, right?
In a standard match, you have 5 bowlers that bowl at a time, standard 10 frames, you go about it. And then after you have that, you know, the standard match, you then go on to play 5 Baker games. The standard match is worth 2 points, and each Baker game is worth 1 point. So at the end of the match, you have an opportunity of getting 7 points for your team. And at the end of the year, based on how many points you have, that's going to be your standings in the district. And then if there's a tie, it then goes down to pin total as well.
For a rookie coach, I'm very impressed by your knowledge of the terminology and how they keep score. When did you figure that out, before your first match?
I would say match number 2 or 3, it really started. Probably match 2, I think I really kind of started figuring it out. I got a lot of help from my friends, or my bowlers next to me here. You know, you guys kind of help me bumble, stumble, and fumble my way through it.
Okay. We had to kind of push you through and get you.
So, CJ, what did you think about assistant baseball coach, a young coach, taking over the reins? Were you excited, or you just don't know what to think?
Honestly, it's better than nothing. We just need a sponsor.
Nothing.
He stood up for it.
He just threw you under the bus. He's better than
nothing. Pretty good, though. He's pretty good.
Okay, you're getting back. You may not see the lane for a while.
Riggs is definitely going to be there. So I'm very excited to have Riggs out there. Probably one of our most fiery bowler we have. Has all kinds of celebrations.
Are you the emotional
guy? Yeah.
He's got some great celebrations on the lane.
My team up.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your celebrations for a strike, a spare.
Yeah, I keep it fun. I try to have a good time.
So you've been choreographing?
Oh, 100%. Just in my room at night, just let's go.
Is this your TikTok presentation?
he takes a couple notes out of the playbook from Pete Weber with the celebrations he has out there. So
No. Bill Murray and Kingpin. Have you ever seen the movie Kingpin?
I have seen Kingpin.
Isn't that a cinematic classic?
I know. One of the first weeks we were there, somebody had the Rose Bowl right next to our lane. One of the girls' teams had the classic, the Rose Bowl. It was really nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm from the state of Iowa, and a lot of that was based out of Burlington, which is a hellhole. And some people say I resemble Woody Harrelson occasionally. The young guys that used to work for me called me Kingpin. It wasn't exactly a term of endearment, we'll say that. We got to come. How about Gutterball? Gutterball Botham.
Gutterball Botham. That's probably not a bad.
Coach Gutterball Botham.
Yeah, I went up against you guys. And how did I do compared to y'all?
You didn't do bad.
Hey, playing with it was better than nothing, right?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your game. I know you like to spin the ball a little bit. You have a little bit of a curve on it. What are the different kind of ways that you like to bowl, the different balls that you got?
Now, this is coming from a pitcher. You know, he's a pitcher, so he's wondering if you got a knuckle, you got a slider.
I only have one ball, unlike most of the people there. Most of our boys team has a ton of balls, but I don't have really the funds right now to get another ball. But I usually roll one-handed. Some of our other boys roll two-handed and get a lot of curve on it. But I don't get too much. I have, like, a pretty straight ball. But as long as I'm hitting the pocket.
So he's a fastball pitcher.
A little bit, yeah.
You're just coming, you know. Here you go, Pins. You're done. And right at it. Okay. No curve, no knuckle, no slider.
I get a little bit of curve at the end.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of curve on it. They've been teaching me a little bit about the lanes. Like, lanes can be more oiled than others. And can you tell us a little bit about that, how that affects the game?
I mean, there's always a different oil, and it's always going to affect how you – like your ball moves at the end.
Is that legal?
Very legal, yeah. Sometimes, so you kind of just have to make adjustments on where you're standing, not where you're throwing it to. When you're like need to make any adjustments, you just adjust where you stand based off how the oil is and just throw the same ball every time.
Folks, you don't have the wrong show. We're actually talking bowling on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, because now is an actual competitive sport in Pinellas County. We want to recognize every kid that's participation in any sport from a positive perspective. And I can tell by the tone of his voice, he's got passion for this, don't you?
Yeah, very much. I love it. It's super fun.
Well, you know what? You need to keep working on it, because you can actually get college scholarships for that. We had... what do we have? The number one bowler,
female bowler, yeah,
from Pinellas Park last year. We had her on, and she got a full ride to UAB. She's going to nursing school. I'm bowling, man.
Damn, that is very good.
Yeah, so keep practicing. They can go do they give them a deal, the high school students, to bowl?
So what we have going on right now is with Seminole Lanes, they allow us to practice there every Tuesday. And so you'll see us out there, and all the lanes, they kind of work together to get all of our games out there and get the student out.
Matches.
Yeah.
Learning the terminology, yeah, man.
To get the student matches. Athletes out there for their matches. So it's great to see them out there, and it doesn't hurt that we can eat some pretty good food out there too in the AC. So I got the guys on our first match. I got you guys, some fries and a pizza?
You got some fries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was great, you know, trying to keep the energy up. And currently, right now, we're actually doing a fundraiser. Riggs is one of my top earners for the fundraiser. So,
he is the top earner, not one of them.
He is the top earner. That is correct.
Make sure you identify him, because otherwise, he's going to think you're better than nothing.
Well, I'll just shoot out here. I'll give us our link if everybody would like to go on there and help sponsor our team, help give us a
couple. Well, we're going to have The Voice also be promoting that too.
Yeah,
you should be doing it up in the press box for the bowling team.
He certainly will. So the link to go to is myteamworks.org/SeminoleBowling2023. Once again, that's myteamworks.org/SeminoleBowling2023. And you can help support our team, get some jerseys, have a banquet at the end of the year, all kinds of stuff that we're going to need to help give our bowlers a really good year.
Okay, so how many matches how many games per match?
So why don't you tell them?
Yeah, so you've got six matches. You've got six games per match. You've got the one main game where everybody's playing 10 frames. And then you've got your Baker games where everybody, since we have five, is going to play two frames. Somebody's going to play the one and the six. Somebody's going to play the two and the seven. Somebody's going to play the three and the eight. Somebody's going to play the four and the nine. And somebody's going to play the five and the 10. And then you play five of those Baker games.
Gotcha. Okay.
So with the Baker game, though, you want your strongest bowler coming in fit.
Yeah.
Because at the very end, you want them in that 10th frame.
He's clean up.
In the 10th frame, being able to get a couple strikes for you to get the dub.
Yeah. Because you can roll three strikes in the 10th frame.
Yeah. So you actually have to put a little strategy into setting up your team before you guys throw down the coldies, you know, the body armors.
Yeah, you also want to usually put your second best bowler in fourth and then going down, because you want your second best bowler to tee up your best bowler for the 10th frame. Like give him a spare or a strike to just...
When you graduate, you can be his assistant coach.
Exactly. There we go. Yeah, I could bring him on in. I got some really good bowlers on the men's team. On the boys' team. I kind of let them kind of govern themselves for quite a bit, because most of the time they know a little bit more than me, especially Riggs over here. And so I kind of let them kind of govern themselves for the most part. The girls team is the team that I spend a lot more time with, because they're
a little more hands-on.
They need a little bit more help.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot for fun, more so than the competition, even though those girls do like to win. And I've started to notice this. Is that right, Riggs? They're starting to come out more competitive.
You need to get in their heads. This is competition. This is a game.
They're pretty good at picking up their spares, which is really
what it's all about, yeah, right?
That's what it's all about. Because when you pick up a spare, the next frame, the first ball that you throw gets added on to that frame. So you can roll like if you roll a spare and then you roll a six next frame, that frame before is a 16.
And my wonderful history of bowling, I think I told you. I was bowling at an advanced age, like about your age, on a date. Her whole family are all bowlers. and I think I'm an athlete, and I'm winging it down the lane, you know, and I'm gutter ball. I'm getting madder, and I'm throwing it harder. Here's how I was holding the ball. The dad looks,
the pointer finger and the middle finger?
Dad looks at me, and he goes,
"Gonna throw you up.
You don't even know how to hold the ball." I go, "Well, how else would you hold the ball? That makes most sense." Yeah, I did not even know how to hold a ball.
Well, one of the things I noticed that a lot of our bowlers have, they have, like, fingertip stoppers in their ball. What is that all about, Riggs?
I'm pretty sure, I don't really know really well, but I'm pretty sure that's just so that the ball fits their fingers just as well as it can, because when you get it drilled, you can only really have, like, a certain size, and those can, like, fully fit your fingers, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah, and one of the things that, one of the hurdles we had to go over was, I was trying to figure out if they could use their own balls or not, and I had a little bit of misinformation from trying to figure it all out. You have to have a finger in every hole. So the issue is with bowlers who bowl both from the left and the right side, they can't use their own ball because they have an extra hole in it.
You got officials there?
When we get to districts, there'll be more officials there making sure we're all uniformed up. Everyone's wearing the correct proper clothing, no headphones, no headgear, no nothing.
All right. You want to do a shout out to your family that's here today?
Yeah, I've got my mom here. I've got my grandma. I've got my grandpa, I've got my great uncles, and I got my brother and sister here.
Well, bravo!
Were they the ones that got you into bowling?
No, I just saw it. Again, in freshman year, I just saw it, and I was like, hey, that sounds fun, and I got into it. That's all it takes.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate you taking time to come down and representing the squad. You're a good man, and wish you nothing but success. You'll probably be his team captain next year and his leader. Do you even have a team captain in bowling?
We haven't elected a team
captain. I'm putting my vote in for him. He showed up. He knows the sport.
But one of the things I do is that I give out a bowler of the week every week, and hopefully Riggs will be able to win himself bowler of the week next week. I think we got some good competition coming up. Once again, it's always at 3:20 is all of our matches on Thursdays. So I'm very excited for that.
Where are we playing next week?
Next week. Gotta take a look at the schedule. Yeah, that's
Dunedin, right?
What was it?
Dunedin.
We play Dunedin next week, so that should be a good match. And
the Warhawks and the Falcons.
You got it.
Take them down, boys.
Hey, a Warhawk always beat a Falcon.
All right. Well, CJ, thanks for coming down, my man.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Well, Coach, I'm impressed. This young man knew his way around the microphone. He was comfortable, but very, very rare the high school kids that comfortable on a microphone. And very impressed. Hey, are you a sports fan?
Yeah, I do. I like my little bit of sports.
Okay, you a Bucks fan?
I'm a Eagles fan.
Eagles fan. Well, this conversation's over. But anyway, no. You're Eagles fan. They got a nice win on Thursday night. Baseball, you a Rays fan?
I don't watch too much baseball, but I do go to a Rays game every now and then.
Okay, all
right. He's kind of killing me there with the baseball stuff. You know, I'm the big baseball guy over here.
I don't play it that much.
Oh, killing me, Rays.
Well, that's why he made the comment. You're better than nothing.
I am a body. I do fill in the place for.
We need somebody.
Yeah. All right, young man. Well, I appreciate you coming down, like I said.
Thank you very much.
Speaking of baseball, let's talk a little bit about tonight's game. Pivotal game, as you said, from a standings perspective, when you threw that equation on if it is a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
We lose if it's a tie at the end of the season.
If it's a tie at the end of the season, it is tough for us. I mean, of course, we're going to get that wild card spot.
We pretty much got that locked.
Yeah, the real question is, do we finish being the number one team in the AL East? Of course, the Rays are 92-57 and have a share of first place with the Orioles, that are 91-56. However, Baltimore does have that series lead 6-5 over Tampa Bay, so we have to sweep this four-game series. So with Eflin pitching a no-hitter up until the sixth inning.
He was great. Impressive.
It was very impressive. This team is now a 90-win team.
How about my goal?
Oh, amazing. He was the one with the bat flip?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. You know me, Mike. I'm not a bat flip guy.
I know.
I don't like the showboating, but I was happy to see him back doing what he's doing. And the team's looking great. How can you complain with a 90-win season for the ninth time in franchise history?
And ninth time in 15 years.
It's truly spectacular. Also, Brandon Lowe recorded his 20th home run of the season, and the Rays now have 5 players with 20 home runs. This is the first time in franchise history we've been able to do this. So the team is being able to get the job done, even with missing pieces, even with guys that they're bringing up from AAA, guys that they're making roster moves to bring around, try and get people in there with all of our IL issues.
How many teams would survive? They lost their ace and arguably one of the best players all around in all of baseball and still be in first place in the position they're at.
I don't think
and the other injuries.
I don't think there's any team that could do what we're doing. And that's what's so impressive. In the last 30 days, Fairbanks, Poche, Stevenson, and Armstrong, and Diekman have pitched a combined 59 and two-thirds innings and have given up only 3 earned runs.
All right, we're going to talk more baseball in the second hour. We'll be back. We're going to talk a little high school with Brad Richardson, our Body Armor High School headquarters conversation. You'll be able to talk baseball with John Bacchia. You've talked to him before, accomplished author and editor of This Week in Baseball. So we'll talk baseball. We'll be back in the second hour live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on a spectacular Saturday, college football. We've got the FSU Boston College at 1 o'clock. Come on down.